Let's sing together hymn number 603, tune 2-0. Praise to the grace divine. Those grace that made this blessing mine from gift to set me free.
As the Lord. Lord may graciously lead and seek to direct your minds to words you will find in the chapter that we have read, in the 41st chapter, the book of the prophet Isaiah, and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The 10th verse of the 41st chapter, the book of the prophet Isaiah, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Time is limited, so we'll come directly to the words of the text. What a word. What a word when the Lord repeats, I will, I will, I will, again and again, spoken with divine power, authority, and certainty. But coming to the words directly, to whom are these words spoken? That is the important. They are precious words, my dear friend, but we've no right to take what doesn't belong to us, any more than you've any right to take a man's money out of his pocket. It's not yours, it's his. And the Lord has left us in no doubt in relation to this matter. We've only to go back two verses. Verses 8 and 9, and we see the divine description of the person to whom he is speaking under three separate heads. If you look at verses 8 and 9, first of all, they are chosen ones. Verse 8, thou Israel art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. Verse 9, the end of the verse, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee. That's where we have to be brought, my dear. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. What the Lord does, my dear friend, is established. What the creature does will fail, and I don't care what it is he does or who it is that does it. The word of the Lord reveals this again and again and again. Put not your confidence in man, it'll fail you, whether it's your own man or any other. Now, these divinely chosen ones, I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction, he has said. Out of the depths has he brought his children. And you can go through the characters of the Word of God, as you know them fairly well, each of them. Think of the depths out of which they were brought and through which they were brought. The mighty hand of God. While Satan may roar, as all the enemies of the children of God have done all down the ages that are past, nevertheless it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Oh yes. Mysterious are the ways of the Lord, it's true. He will give no explanation of his dealings. The importance is what he's doing, not how he does it. This again you have revealed in the word of his grace. Israel brought out of Egypt. What a mighty deliverance. How did he bring them out? Shut them in. Oh, they said, this is all wrong, this is all wrong. We told you, Moses, we're better for us to stop back into Egypt. Let's get back into Egypt. And they fain would have done for it. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Did you say, go forward? Now, can we go forward? There's the sea, look. Read on, my dear friend, and there's one more word in the next verse. But. And faith laughs at impossibility. Nobody had ever seen a sea divided before. But stretch out thy hand over the sea, thy rod over the sea. And let's be very clear about it, my dear friend. God didn't divide the sea all at once. Oh, the Lord doesn't work that way, my dear friend. That's how you and I would like it. To see a clear path right the way across the sea. Oh, that's easy. No. The Lord caused an east wind to blow all that night. And it took all that night to divide the sea, friend. Let's be very careful in the reading of the Word of God. And they had to go forth by faith and not by sight. And as every step was put forward to go forward, so the sea divided a bit more. And the Lord is accomplishing, oh, it's all right. You've been terribly afraid of Pharaoh and his hosts. You thought you got away from his power and his rule. Now he's pursuing you. It's all right. I won't go into all the details of it. Chosen out of the furnace of affliction, and it may well be, my dear friend, to go into another furnace of affliction. But remember this, you're under a different hand of control now. That's the mercy of it. Not a single shot can hit until the God of love sees fit, but as so surely as that single shaft is permitted, so the Lord will control it and control you in relation to it. All this is embraced here. I have chosen you. I have chosen you. Yes, divinely ordained to fulfill a place in the kingdom of God. This is divine choice, my dear friend. Not the work of man, however much they proclaim it in the day in which we live. What an awful delusion, my dear friend. To those who followed the proclamation of it, only to be deluded and deceived. Oh, my dear friend, I want the Lord to choose me, don't you? I have chosen you. Before ever he spoke the word of the text, he says, I have something to say to you, but I have something to say about you, first of all. I have chosen you. Twice in those two verses that he says it. And then he goes on too. There's another description he gives here. I have called you. Same two verses. Yes, same two verses. Verse 9, those thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called you from the chief men thereof, called of God. Oh, it's good to have a good solid background, my dear friend. It's important to have the right standing, friend. Oh, whatever's right and whatever's wrong, I want to be right in this, my dear friend. I want my standing to be fixed more secure than 'twas before I fell, and I don't want to lean to my own understanding, though we do. In our folly, it'll deceive us, my dear friend. We have a heart that is deceitful above everything else, desperately wicked. And satanic power will influence it, my dear friend, as it is the originator of it. Yes. Oh, yes, he's called us. Called us out. What a mercy, my dear friend, that the infinite God, the triune God, in blended in unison of operation, called. He calls whom he will. Oh, yes. Do you believe in election, my dear friend? If you don't, then read the book of Ruth. Yes, particularly the beginning of it. There you've got it very clearly, my dear friend. You can't have it more clearly apart from many, many other passages. Orpah and Ruth, they both wept. But Orpah said, I'm going back. Oh, no, I'm not going any further. I'm going back. But Ruth, entreat me not to leave thee. You don't know where you go. I don't want to know where I'm going. I want to know who's in control. That's what I want to know. Entreat me not to leave thee. Oh, yes, my dear friend. There is election, friend. Chosen of God. And an altar is left. Solemn thought, friend. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. It's an important matter, it's a vital matter. Chosen of God and called out by his mighty hand. And when he calls, my dear friend, whatever power is holding you has got to give way. He's sovereign, but he's almighty, friend. And he calls out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, go back, my dear friend. Some of you have known his love for many years now. Why did he come to you, friend? When you were out there in the waste, howling wilderness, and made you stop and think and consider, why did he bring you to your knees in agonizing, earnest prayer, pleading, wrestling for pardon? Why? Calls you to it, friend. This is the way the Lord calls, yes. Oh, yes, thou the called ones as well as the chosen ones. It's not sufficient. Oh, he said, I've chosen you, yes, but I calls you out. But there's something more. There's something more. You're not going to be idle, my dear friend. You're not going to be idle. And here again, confined in the same verses, in verse 8 and verse 9, O thou Israel, art my servant. Verse 9, thou art my servant. I'm not chosen thee. You're not called, my dear friend, to remain idle. Oh, let none be idly saying, there's nothing for me to do. No, there is a service to be rendered, friend, unto the Lord. Isn't he worthy? But which do you put first, my dear friend? Oh, I'm speaking to my own heart. If I don't speak to you, which do you put first? The things of time and sense, and if there's any time left at the end, well, I might give that to the Lord. If there's no time left, well, I'm sorry about that, but that's how it is. You're a servant of the Most High God, then. These are the characters of some. Very briefly, the threefold description of the characters. And it's all the work of the Lord. I have chosen thee. I have called thee. Thou art my servant. Nobody else's. Oh yes, my dear. This is the way that the Lord deals with his children as he begs to come out from among them. Be ye separate. touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and so on. Yes. And then he breathes. Then he breathes this blessed word. Revelation of his infinite knowledge, my dear friend. Oh, I should never tire of this. I hope you'll never tire of hearing it, my dear friend. The infinite knowledge. Oh, he knows the way that you take, my dear friend. Every detail of it. Every single detail. Fear thou not. Oh, he said, oh no, you're full of fear, full of misgivings. You spend your time being plagued on every hand with fear. Just look at this a moment or two. We can only be very brief. Do you remember, my dear friend, that fear originates from sin? Oh, go back to exit to Genesis 3. In Eden's garden, my dear friend, before sin came, there were no fears. Open, blessed communion, unending communion, nothing to mar, nothing to hinder. But directly sin came. Adam, where art thou? Oh, I heard thee coming, I was afraid. First time Adam had been afraid in his life. Oh, the Lord says, you've eaten of that tree that I commanded you not. And so on. I won't enlarge upon that, but that was the Lord said, I know where you've been. I know where you've been. Oh, my dear friend, and from that moment it developed. Because we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And we carry with us the dregs of that old nature. That's where fear begins, my dear friend. Let's be careful about this matter of fear. I fear that there's far too much of fear that is looked upon or mingled with somehow. I don't know quite how they do it, but I'm sure it's mingled with a consciousness in their own estimation of a hope. My dear friend, let's be careful. I know that they run very, very close together. I must be very brief on this, as brief as I can, but as led of the Spirit of the Lord, so I will portray it. But these two run very close together. I speak to a good many, and have done in the course of the years, and I hear them saying, about being in Christ, well, I hope I am. I hope I am. My dear friend, be careful lest you're not being governed by unbelief. That's fear. Unbelief is a sin. Oh, yes. Satan loves his people, loves God's people to be in that position. Oh, he'll shake them until they tremble and tremble and do nothing else but tremble. And thou seem to live upon their hope. Yes. They never get further than their hope. The Lord says, fear not. You've no ground to fear. No ground to fear. This is the blessedness of the chosen ones, the called ones, those who are called to be the servants of the Most High God. This is their privileged position, my dear friend. There is no ground. Well, I'm putting to you, my dear friend, something I long to experience myself more and more, because we all give place to this fearful state. But there is no ground for it, my dear friend. The Lord is in control, in complete control. There's not a single shaft can hit, no matter where it comes from. Be it Satan himself and all his host combined, I've referred to Israel and their deliverance. And the Lord shut them in. Why? Because the Egyptians are going to know that I am the Lord. That's what they're going to know. You're looking at your deliverance. You're not worried about the Egyptians, but I am. I'm concerned. Do you know what happened? He had control. And when Israel had gone through the Red Sea on dry land, not up to their knees in mud, you know, on dry land, and the Egyptians are saying to do, we're drowned. The Lord waited. Oh, it's a blessed picture, my dear friend. Ponder over it much. The Lord waited, he's watching. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire come between. It was light to Israel, it was darkness to the Egyptians. Yes. And when they'd come, not when half of them had come. Oh, the Lord didn't bring them to a little pond, you know, where there wasn't room. Forgive the illustration. A little pond, you know, where there wasn't room for all the Egyptians and Pharaoh and his host, his mighty, his chosen chariots and his horsemen and riders and everything. Oh, no. The Lord chose a place where they could all get in. When the door got in, now the Lord says, stretch out your hand over the sea, Moses, and the waters have come back, and they did. And there wasn't one of them left, not one, and Israel were on dry land. Oh, my dear friend, do I question the power of God to deliver you out of this trouble, this anxiety, this conflict in which you're found at this time? There is an eye that never sleeps. Fear not, he said. Fear not. That's the first word. He speaks, and he speaks it again and again and again within his word, and it's always the same. Fear not. He means in the entirety of it. You and I have no ground, my dear friend, really, for fears. The carnal fears, that's sinful too, and they will develop, my dear friend, if you're not very, very careful. And you'll have to be exceptionally careful, because the Lord is not with you in this. But if you're not careful, they'll turn to presumption, friend. Oh, there's so much here, I cannot enlarge upon. But oh, my dear friend, this is an awful state, this matter of fear. I fear we take it all too haphazardly and without careful consideration. It'll not only rob you of your joy, but if you're not careful, it'll rob you of everything. It can't rob you eternally, I know. Oh, I know that. But it'll rob you of all the joy, all the progress, all the benefits. Fear thou not. Why? I am with you. Do you see, my dear friend, how the Lord puts first things first? You've heard me say it, I've no doubt before. I love the order of Scripture. The Lord puts first things first. I am with you. That's the answer. And where he is, there cannot be fear. That's the answer. Put not your confidence in man, that'll fail you. Put your trust in the Lord. Yes, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. It's all under control. It's all governed. Not one moment longer can it last. Oh, Satan can cry, persecute them, overtake them, the Lord shut them in. Oh, yes, he can say that. But it has no meaning. It's only deceitfulness, and it'll delude and deceive if we're not careful. Through these carnal hearts of ours, the Lord said, I am with thee. And gathering it all up in a phrase, with heaven and earth, with heaven and earth, at his command, he waits to answer prayer. For these things will I be inquired. I'm quite sure, my dear friend, there is the secret. Whether it be in the individual experience, or whether it be in the Church of God, we've got a way, friend, let's be honest about it. We've got a way to, from this great matter of prayer. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Oh, yes, you know that, don't you? How much do you know of it experimentally? When some trouble befalls thee, where does it come then? Yes. More things are wrought by prayer. They are, friend. Because God is with his people. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's the important matter. Not one who is afar off. I know it's blessed to be conscious that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and he's looking down from eternal glory. But he's also said, lo, I am with you. Always. And he says it here, fear thou not, for I am with thee. This is the blessed companionship. This is the abiding treasure. For the child of God, what words, my dear friend, what words? I know they're familiar, but oh, what blessed words the Lord does speak to the aching heart, to the distressed mind, to the perplexed one, who can't seem to put two and two together and make anything of it at all. And while they're striving, with all their striving, Satan is doing his utmost to mar and hinder the way. Fear thou not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Be not dismayed. He goes a bit deeper. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Oh, what a word. Do you want anything else, my dear friend? Do I? Anything else, whatever, than this? Be not dismayed. You're in full of dismay. You're overwhelmed with trouble. You're enveloped in distress. You know not which way to turn, what to think, what to say. Fear thou not. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. What does it mean? In a word or two, I've pledged your eternal welfare. I pledged your eternal welfare. If you fail, my dear friend, if you're amongst these characters that I briefly described, if you fail to get home to glory, have you thought of what it means? This is no ground to sit idly down and console oneself and say, well, there's no need for me to do anything. That isn't the language of the Lord's servants at all. This is something to stand in wonderment at. This is something to come to the throne and pour out the heart in thanksgiving. He's pledged himself. I am thy God. I'm in charge of your life, your future days. I'm in charge of your experiences day by day and hour by hour. This is what it means. I can only put it in a few words. There's so much here. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Oh, yeah, I'd like more of the consciousness of it. Be not dismayed, then. I am thy God. I am thy God. I've got control. Oh, yes. The blessedness. Read the 40th of Isaiah again. That wonderful chapter. that puts a series of questions for your inquiry and for your answers. To whom then will ye liken God? To whom then will ye liken God? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? Who gave him knowledge? Who gave him understanding? I am thy God, the mighty God that created the heavens and the earth and maintains them. The mighty God that rules and reigns. The mighty God before everything, every other power, whatever name it bears, whatever place it occupies, must stand and follow my dictates. Oh, yes, I am thy God. Love those illustrations. This dear book, oh, my dear friend, I've said it so many times, I'm sure here I'm always saying it, but it is all in the dear old book, my dear friend, as long as you've got the right book. And he comes to dear Peter and he says, Satan hath desired. Don't leave that word out, will you? It's important. Satan hath desired. He can't do it. He wants to get you in the sin, but he can't. I am thy God, Peter. And he can't put you in the sieve until I permit him. You can go on with other passages I haven't time to turn to. The same thing applies. This mighty God that inhabits eternity. I am thy God. You thought of it, friend? You thought of what it means? I'm the God of your home life. I'm the God of your business. I'm the God of your prospects. I'm the God of your church. I am thy God because you belong to me by the ties of blood. I've chosen you out of the furnace of affliction. You're mine. You no longer belong to another. Thus saith the Lord, says that he says in this same book ago. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. Another fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And here he is saying, be not dismayed. I am thy God. And that means in the entirety of it, my dear friend, every step that you make, take, every plan that you make, every thought that you conceive in your mind, you should seek to bring it all to be in complete conformity with his holy mind and will. That's what we should desire. I know you may readily say, as I have to say so often, we seem so far off it, but do you long to get to all it, friend? God is not declaring something just for our retention in our memories, but something to be enjoyed. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Notice the repetitions of the will. I will. No, the Lord never came to try to do anything. I will strengthen thee. I know all about your weakness. I know all about the opposition. I know all about that which you have to engage in and have to endure. I will strengthen thee. No, he didn't say he's going to deliver you, no. No. He'll strengthen you. In the time of affliction, trial, sorrow, trouble, whatever it may be, when the adversary comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Thus far, no further. Oh, my dear friend. Don't forget, Jonah's good can wither, but God, Jonah's God can never wither. Oh, he abides faithful, friend. gives us no license. Oh, may God save us from any suggesting any thoughts of license in any of these matters. But I will strengthen thee, death. I will help thee. I will help thee. Forgive the way I put it before you. Do you know what it is? To come home with a very heavy shopping bag. My wife comes home sometimes. She said, oh, it's so nice. Man came up to me. I don't know who he was and where he come from. And he came to me and he said, can I help you and carry your bag? It's just that, friend. It's just that. Oh, my dear friend, you've got a heavy load. You can't. You're trying hard to get along, but you're not making much progress. This bag is so heavy. This trouble is so sore. This distress is so great. I will help thee. I will help thee. He says, a little lower down, I will take thee by the right hand and say unto thee, fear not. Good place, my dear friend. When his hand has got hold of that trouble of yours, then he's helping you. I'd rather walk alone with God, says the hymn writer. I'd rather walk with God in the dark than walk alone in the light. True, friend. Oh, to know he's there. I am thy God, yes, but I won't stand there idle. No, I will strengthen thee. You need strength, and he giveth power. He giveth power to the faint. It's all in the same prophecy. He giveth power to the faint, and to those that are weak, he imparted strength. Oh, my dear friend, this God is our God. This God is our God, says the psalmist. Do you believe it, friend? Do you live in the enjoyment of it? Do you live in the sweet consciousness of it? Oh, I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. That's what we need. He puts strength in the inner man. Strength to wage a good warfare. Strength to become more than conqueror through him that loved us. Oh, this is the way of the children of God. As John learned in the Revelation, who are these that come out? How camest thou? These are they that came out of great tribulation. However did they come out of that? The Lord strengthened them. The Lord helped them. The Lord was with them. Yes, they came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they the before the throne, made more than conquerors. I've referred to Israel and their delivering. Oh, my dear friend, turn over the page to the next chapter. And what do we read? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. And when you've got there, my dear friend, in the word of the text, you can't help singing. It'll humble you. It'll humble you to tears, it will. And I know what I'm talking about, friend. It'll bring you to tears. The mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord. Oh, my dear friend, have you been conscious of it of late? I've been troubled some little time now with a hacking cough. And I've gone to the house of God many, many times and wonder however I should get through the show. I've gone up into the pulpit, cough, 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 cough. You've heard me a little this evening. It's all gone. It's all gone again, the mercy of the Lord. No, and it's all of his mercy, and I've had to try and bless him afterwards. And directly I come down out of the pulpit, away you go again, cough, cough, cough. Oh, friend, I am with you. And I proved it in the pulpit, beloved, of late, so many, many times. And I'm bound to say it to his glory. Nothing to praise myself for, by any means I've been in full of fear. Oh, fear thou not. I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. You come to the end of the road of it. You come to the end of self. You come to the end of everything. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. The blessedness of the promise of the Lord, the abiding promise of the Lord, and to every one of his children, every one of them. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. What's the difference? What's the difference? That's the question that arises immediately in my own mind. When the Lord led me to this, I read it and I thought, if the Lord comes with me, he's my God, and he strengthens me, what more do I want? What do I? He said, I will strengthen you and I will help you. You see, he links the two together. It's much as I was a little while ago with the dear woman carrying the heavy shopping bag. The man didn't say, give it to me, I'll take it entirely. No. He said, give me one side and I'll hold the other side with you, and we'll walk together. He said, I will help thee. I will strengthen thee, but I will help thee. Oh, my dear friend, do you see the completeness? I had to gather all this up so briefly. It's hardly doing justice to it, but that's in the hands of the Lord. He comes to help. Do you need help, friend? Or are you saying to the Lord, it's all right, Lord, I can get on all right. I can manage with this. When the clouds grow darker and darker, and when the rains begin to descend, and when the snow begins to fall from heaven, then I shall need some help. And then the Lord won't be there, friend. Then the Lord won't be there. You say, you get on with it. To the fearful ones, to the dismayed ones, I will strengthen thee and I will help thee. This breathes, my dear friend, an understanding. Going back, if I keep to the figure, you won't mind. The man must have looked upon the woman with a basket. He must have judged in his own mind, rightly or wrongly, I have to leave that. But he must have judged that basket's full, that basket's heavy. But he didn't stop, he said, let me take one side. Forgive the illustration, it seems to apply. That's what the Lord, he understands your trouble, my dear friend. He hasn't come haphazardly. He hasn't come to you and said, do you need any help? No, he's come and said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. This is the way the Lord deals. He never asks permission for anything. Satan does the asking because he can't do anything without it and without the consent. I will help thee. What do you need more than this, friend? What do you need more than this? I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. No, the Lord's not going to do it all, my dear friend. He's going to put strength in the inner man and help you. And as you, as with Moses. Moses can't divide the Red Sea. He came with the rod of God in his hand. And with the power of God beneath. Oh, yes. And you can do impossibilities, my dear friend, with that mighty power. Nothing is too hard for the Lord, is the declaration and the inquiry too. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Are you going to put any obstacle in the way and say that this is beyond his power? Whatever it may be, home trouble, business trouble, church trouble, any other trouble, individual trouble. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. You're drooping. You're tottering. You're finding the task is too heavy for you. I will uphold thee. Yes. The Lord will take thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. Fear not. I will uphold thee, friend. This is the portion for the children of God, my dear friend. It'll never fail. This isn't confined to an Abraham and an Isaac and Elijah and one or two others. No, this is for the people of God, the chosen one. The little ones and the big ones, if you're going to try and put it into divisions, all the chosen of God, this is the way he deals with them, those whom he's called out and called in to be partakers of his wonderful mighty power. His mighty power upholds the universe, and it's sufficient to uphold you, my dear friend. Whatever trouble you may be in, I'm not minimizing troubles by any means. There are times when you and I come to our extremity, when we can't go a step further. You've known that as I have known it. And the Lord comes and sweetly breathes. A blessedness, I will uphold it. I will uphold it. And that's the way through the difficulty that you will pass, and the way in which you will come out of it triumphant, more than conquerors, through him that has loved you. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I've got about a minute now. The right hand of my righteousness. I feel almost I better leave it with you, my dear friend. The right hand of the Lord that triumphed gloriously to Israel. It was the right hand of the Lord, the right hand of power. And that's where power rules and reigns, and that mighty right hand, friend, of his power will uphold the right hand of his righteousness. He links them together. All that he does is on the ground of righteousness, perfect righteousness. Let me quote one passage. On the behalf of them all, one that you are very frequently quoting, one that you've heard quoted, I suppose, as much, if not more, than any other. My God shall supply all your need. Lovely, isn't it? Oh, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. My God shall supply all your need according, not to your estimate, not according to your expectation, not according to you in any way, but according to those riches in glory. By Christ Jesus, that's the right hand of his righteousness. That's the right hand of his power. It's all according to the riches in glory. By Christ Jesus, for it could never have come otherwise. By nature, you and I are separated from God by wicked works. There's none righteous, no, not one. But through Christ, we're brought into righteousness, partakers of righteousness, and all the benefits of righteousness. And I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, not yours, my righteousness. So that it's all going to be well, my dear friend, isn't it? It's all going to be well. And just in conclusion, if I take a moment just to remind you, we've referred to Israel and Egypt, the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, the destruction of Egypt. Now look, now look. And here it is, the same truth in Isaiah. For in the very next verse, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. And the horse and his rider he cast into the sea. And there's Pharaoh and all his host. They're not called Pharaoh. They're not called the Egyptians, but they're the same caliber. All they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. There's the word of the Lord, friend, put before you in a few rambling remarks, I'm afraid, this evening. But oh, may the Lord seal the truth of it. Your times are in his hands. All events are at his command and at his control, and they will last as he sees fit and best, and they will cease when he shall sovereignly appoint. I must leave it with you. May the Lord bless his precious truth for the glory of his dear name and the encouragement of our own poor hearts that are so often full of fear. But do seek grace to be kept from fear, friend. It's a sin, and it'll dishonor the Lord. Oh, to lay passive in his hands and seek to know no will but his. The Lord grant it for his name's sake. Amen.
The Lord will, Mr. Wood will feature on Friday of next week. Let us close with hymn number 396. June 641. Put the creature in health for Jesus. Seldom should we think of prayer. Few, if any, come to Jesus, till reduced to self-despair. Long may I this life or doubt him, but when all the means we try prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. June 641.
bless thee for thy precious word, but our Lord, we want the application of it now. We want to know the possession of it. We want to know the enjoyment of it. Oh, speak it to our poor hearts, for thou knowest the way that we take. Oh, bless thy truth. Pardon anything that has been said amiss and blotted out entirely, but seal thine own truth for thy glory's sake. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the eternal Spirit, the comfort, be with us each and with all thy people everywhere, both now and evermore. Amen.